Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. All right, I'm here with my friend Isabella, who's going to give us a master class in selling on Amazon. You ready to do this?
Absolutely, I cannot wait.
All right, let's go. All right, welcome Isabella. This is going to be an absolutely amazing and special interview. You know why?
I'm curious to know.
Because you have amazing energy and you're an ally to entrepreneurs everywhere, right?
I love it. And we're matching our shirts today.
Yeah. And you're gonna share millionaire mindset with us?
Well, I like the billionaire mindset better.
Billionaire?
But listen, so, if you just want to be at the low level, at the millionaire level, you know, I'm okay with that. It's so funny. I don't know if you can see on my wall here. This is my vision board, and I had 1 billion on it, but my friend came over today and she said it's missing something. So she just threw a zero there. So now it's 10 billion. I'm like, well, okay. Thank you, universe. Bring it.
Yeah, there you go. You're going to bring some trillionaire energy here today.
Yeah, let's level up. Let's keep leveling up. I love
it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So Isabella, you're like one of the 10 most influential people in the Amazon space. You're the CEO of RankBell, which helps people rank their Amazon services. And you've helped, is this correct? You've helped Amazon entrepreneurs sell over $100 million last year only?
Yes. So what we do at RankBell, we help sellers promote their products in the mm-hmm. most organic way. So if you're just launching a product on Amazon, or if your product has been on Amazon, but it may not be doing that well for certain keywords, because it's all about Amazon, it's all about keywords, then we come in and we examine the listing, the product, and see how far we can take it. And what we do, we push organic traffic for specific keywords, which in turn results the algorithm actually working with us to push that product up, because Amazon is amazing and I always recommend it, but it has become a little bit competitive over the years.
A little bit,
because I don't want to scare people away, because it's still a great opportunity. And the way I see it is we're still just scratching the surface. Even though it seems like it's overpopulated, there's still so much room for growth, especially now that services like mine exist. I've been doing this for over 7 years, so I'm a little bit OG in the business, which, you know, gives me a little leg up because I've seen it all. I've been through it all. But Amazon is still a great opportunity, and I definitely recommend it.
Well, let me ask you this. Why don't you walk us through a case study? You don't have to name the product or something, but, you know, in the last 12 to 18 months, tell us about a product that, or, you know, a company that came to you and they said, all right, this is our product. Here's where we are. And what you're able to do for them. And just, you know, it could be like something that you helped go from $100,000 to $1 million in a year or something like that. Something where people can go, wow, I get the possibility of it.
Right. So the way I see it, when it comes to Amazon, if a product has enough search volume, then you can also sell it. So when I say that, there are different tools out there that you can measure the success of a specific product. So if that product is being searched on Amazon, let's give an example, wine glasses. You know, that's something you can buy yourself for your home, or it's good also as a gift. Holidays are coming. So it's a product that can be sold throughout the year. So somebody will come to me and they'll say, you know, I have this product. There's a million other products exactly like mine. How do I differentiate it? So the first thing one must do is go through all the existing products, existing wine glasses that are on page 1, 2, and 3, let's say, and use one of these tools and it will show you exactly how much money they are making. It's incredible. It's everything is wide open. You can see this seller is doing, I don't know, 100,000 every 2-3 days, or 1 million a month, or oh my God, the numbers. I mean, they can go as high as you can imagine. Amazon is basically limitless on how much you can make. So they'll come to me and they'll say, look, the seller on page one, position one does 1 million a month. Obviously, this is my goal too. Where do we start? So we analyze what keywords will fit best for that specific product. Again, there are tools out there. One of them that I highly recommend using, it's Helium 10, but there's some other ones out there. Helium 10, it's somebody I've been working with for over the years that have the closest number to real numbers. When it comes to Amazon, it's never accurate 100%, but it will give you a starting point to know where you're going. So we're looking at that specific product, wine glasses. We see that seller A is doing 1 million a month. What keywords they're targeting? You can also see that. Mm-hmm. Not only you can see how much money they're making, you can see how many products exactly they're selling per month. You can literally track it from the beginning, the day one when they started until today. You can see if they went up, if they went down. It's incredible. So that gives us some history on a different product that is similar to yours. So now, how do you make that better? Obviously, you can do better pictures, you can have a better listing, but my favorite thing to do is to look at all the negative reviews of that specific product. So you'll pick like two or three competitors, you go through the reviews and you see, wow, these wine glasses, a lot of people complain that they shatter in the boxes. Okay, what can I do to make maybe the box stronger, or can I use a better material to create this? So you look at all the negative reviews, usually one stars, usually are the real reviews. So you go based on that. And my recommendation is take some of those negative reviews and put them into your listing, meaning you can say our wine glasses don't break, or you know what I mean? You put those keywords in. So when people type into Amazon wine glasses that don't break, it's more than likely that your listing will be easier to come up because you already have that search term in the listing.
Yeah. Let me just add one thing, like negative reviews were actually, you know, so I got, you know, I wrote the perfect day formula that I shared with you, and I wrote that in 2015, and we didn't get a lot of negative reviews, but you know, we did get some 3-star and 2-star reviews, and it was actually, those were the most helpful in me writing the perfect week formula. And the perfect week formula is a better book, a more comprehensive book. And it was all because of those negative reviews, which, like you said, actually contain the most and best information. So it's not, you know, exactly relevant to your example, but everybody, if you do have products and you get negative reviews, pay attention to them as well.
It's relevant to anything and everything that you are selling, including a service. The negative reviews are the ones that will help you move forward. So I look forward to those. A lot of people don't like it because they feel attacked. They said, but my product is the best, this and this. I always say, you know, put that aside a little bit and, you know, just be appreciative that somebody gave you a feedback, because most people don't even take the time to tell you what you're doing wrong. And then you continue doing that wrong thing. And then you are wondering why you're not getting different results. Yeah. So once we figure out what the keywords are, what they could be targeting next. So let's say wine glasses. That's what we call a main keyword, meaning that probably has the most searches for that specific product. Wine glasses, you type that in and you'll get sellers that make millions and millions of dollars. So it's very hard to go from 0 to 100 that fast, but what are some things that we can do right now to put you in the trajectory of reaching that goal eventually? Because you cannot go from today till tomorrow to $1 million. There's things that have to happen. So what we do, we can target some of the long tail keywords. So you have the main keyword, wine glasses. Now, an example of a long tail keyword will be wine glasses for the dinner table. You see, that's a very long, that's a very long keyword. But guess what? There's still people searching for that specific keyword. Most people, yes, will type in wine glasses, but let's say 100,000 people are searching for that term. But for wine glasses for the dinner table, maybe only 10,000 people search for that. See what I mean? Because it's a little longer. But Now we can target this keyword. It's not going to cost you that much money because it's not that competitive, because not many people are competing for that specific keyword. Everybody wants to compete for wine glasses. You know, your ads are going to be more expensive. The campaigns you do with our agency will be a little bit more expensive because they tend to be more extensive. Instead of doing a campaign of, let's say, 100 units, and I'll explain what that is in a second, you might have to do 500 to reach the same goal. But now, because you have a long tail keyword, you can target that and accumulate all these eyes that are looking for this specific product. So you're already owning the real estate for wine glasses for the dinner table. And then we keep looking for these long tail keywords. What are some other keywords that we can use? Wine glasses for Thanksgiving, wine glasses for whatever. Like the list, you can find hundreds and hundreds of these keywords. If we find like three or four or five of these, what happens is now you get 10,000 searches, 10,000 people looking for this keyword, 10,000 for this, 10,000, 10,000. It accumulates, and now you have 50,000 eyes on your product. And now the magic starts happening, because once we rank all these keywords, all these long tail keywords, then your main keyword also gets ranking. So the wine glasses, now it's not going to cost you as much as it would have been if we only targeted that specific keyword. So I know it's a little bit dense what I said, and feel free to break it down. But this is basically the explanation of how to rank for a keyword to bring you the maximum success so you can start selling your product.
It's not that much different than what people were doing on Google.
Exactly. It's like SEO, but for Amazon. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the weirdest thing you've helped people sell on Amazon?
Oh my God. So many weird things. Like, I don't know, like rings for like toes, for like bunions, and like weird things like a posture corrector. About like 3 or 4 years ago, there was a rush of posture correctors. So it's like those little, they almost look like, how you carry your dog in a leash. They kind of look like leashes that they go on your back. They're just called posture corrector. So you put them on and it's supposed to hold your spine straight and all this. So something must have happened. Somebody in some course must have said that that's a very good product to sell. So I had a rush of clients that have sourced the same exact product. So that was like one of my weirdest ones, because I got like 50 sellers all trying to rank for the same keywords, because the product is very light itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it would cost them to source it from China for like $2, and then they would sell it on Amazon for like $20. So you can see the margins were quite high. And everybody's like, oh my God, this is it. This is the product. So of course, some made it and some didn't, because they go by, you know, what a course said. Some of these courses out there are very good. And some of them, it's not that they're not good. They're just giving examples of products. And people think, oh, if he did it with this specific product, then I can replicate with the same product. But I believe most of these courses give you an example, like have a product similar to this, maybe light in weight, that doesn't cost that much. So, but most people just want to copy that exact product, and then something like that happens.
How's it working with China now, in that, you know, the ports are all backed up, and is Amazon having a problem with inventory, or certain industries having problems with inventory?
Yes, definitely. This has put a little bit of a stop on a lot of products, but it goes back to preparation. How ready are you for something like this? We knew COVID started a year and a half ago, so some smart sellers, they prepared. What do we have to do if we cannot send units to Amazon? So for those that don't know, Amazon sells their own products, but also there are what it's called third-party sellers. Like I can be one, you can be one, everyone can be one. In the past, before COVID, you were able to send into Amazon, let's say wine glasses, you could send 1,000 boxes of wine glasses to Amazon. Amazon will store it nicely. Whenever somebody purchased, Amazon will deliver it from their warehouse. When COVID happened, and with a lot of people working from home and a lot of people getting sick, Amazon has reduced that limit to 200 units only. So what happened was, it was this madness because people didn't know where to send the product to. Some people like kept it at their house, in their garages. And a lot of companies have been created during COVID. They're called 3PLs, is where you can send a product to a warehouse that's managed by a company. So when somebody orders from Amazon, they can send directly to that specific person's home. And when that limit, well, let's say you had the 200 units and it goes down, you can also send another shipment, small shipment to Amazon.
Got it.
Because there's
Got
two it. Ways to sell it, FBA or FBM. FBA is fulfilled by Amazon, is where the products are in Amazon. Amazon delivers for you. Or FBM is fulfilled by merchants. So you have, let's say, the perfect day formula at home. Whenever somebody orders, you just ship it directly to the consumer.
Yeah, perfect.
So now with all this backing up of the boats being stuck on the water, a lot of people are running out of stock, which is good and bad. Bad, obviously, for the sellers, but it's good in a sense for those who have prepared for this. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of stock, again, in a 3PL company or at their home or whatever. Maybe they have their own warehouse because they're the ones that are going to sell a lot of products now.
Yeah.
Now the competition is like decreasing because there's not enough stock. So some of these sellers that were on page one, maybe they ran out of stock. Amazon automatically drops you on page nowhere to be found until you
again. Page exactly. nowhere. That's a horrible place to be, I imagine.
Exactly. Nobody wants to be there. So what happens is once you run out of stock, you lose rank completely. When you bring in new stock, you're kind of starting all over. So you have to use my service again to bring you back up, hopefully with, you know, smarter moves where you order the product in time. So now what happens that's different than before COVID, sellers have to order for a longer period of time. Whereas before they only had to have a stock for like maybe 2-3 months. Now they have to think ahead. Can I order? Do I have enough money to purchase product that will last me for the next 6 months in case something like this happens again? And we don't know. It may continue. I mean, we really don't know where COVID is going. And what happened also, these shipping companies are charging extremely high prices right now. So something like that would have costed maybe $5,000 for a container to ship. Maybe now it's like $25,000, like that much.
Yeah.
So what happens is now your margins becoming way less, and the sellers on Amazon are not changing their prices, which is very interesting. You know, so even though the wine glasses were $20, now the prices have increased in shipping. You're making less money, but they're afraid to increase, not to, you know, because there's still competition. Like nobody has made that move yet.
Wow.
So it's interesting to see where this will go, because if the prices continue rising and nobody's changing the prices on Amazon, they might as well go out of business, this small sellers.
Yeah. So I guess like on Amazon, you pretty much you compete on price, or you can compete on brand. Are there any other things that give you a differentiation there?
Yeah. So you definitely compete on price. And Amazon wants to be known as the one platform with the lowest prices.
Yeah.
So they want you to stay at that point. But that's one. You want to also make sure that you have a lot of reviews, positive reviews. You can differentiate by adding little different things to your box. So let's say for wine glasses, what you may do, you may want to add like a little free bonus that comes in your box. Maybe those little rings that you put on the bottom of the glass, and that doesn't cost much. It will cost maybe 5-10 cents to add. So there are things that you can make your product a little bit different. So when you go to wine glasses on Amazon, you see all these wine glasses, but then you see one that's wine glasses plus this cute little rings added to it. So that's also going to make the buyer maybe choose you over somebody else that's not offering that.
Okay.
So there are little tricks you can do to stand out.
Okay. And then so something like when fidget spinners came along and they were super popular. So someone like you, how early do you see that trend? And then how long does some of the how long did that thing last? And how long did some things that get really, really hot that are kind of irrational? What's kind of like their cycle for actually petering out?
Yeah. And that's, it's a little bit hard to determine, but I remember, I did a few campaigns for fidget spinners. And while it was hot, first you have to almost start before it becomes a trend. And how do you catch a trend? Because once it's already out there, you're already too late.
Yeah.
So it has to be, it's almost, you can call it, you know, seasonal product, even though it's not for a specific season, it's not for Christmas and it's not for this holiday or for that. It's just seasonal in the sense that it's going to be hot for a while and then it's going to go away. So we don't know how long this will take. I think I don't remember exactly. I think the fidget spinners were maybe like a year or two, which gave it a really, really long, a long lifetime. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that use them now, but what happened was when that became hot, everybody wanted to get in and make some money. And some people actually did, and they made a lot of money, but the majority of the people didn't. So they were stuck at home with all these fidget spinners. And then all they could do is like sell it at like a swap meet or somewhere like that. So it's hard to determine. But like, for example, if you're looking, let's say if you're, you know, somebody that's really interested in stars and stuff like that, and eclipses, like when is the next big eclipse? And you can prepare for that like 6 months in advance. Like, do you want to source, you know, those little paper glasses that help you see the eclipse?
Oh, right.
Like, that's something you can prepare ahead. Is there a really cool movie coming out in the next year? Like, what is something that could be seen or searched for once that movie comes on the market? So I don't know. Do you remember there's this movie on Netflix called Queen's Gambit?
Everybody was obsessed with the chess.
So a lot of people sold a lot of chess boards. A lot. Like it went up incredibly high. The search volume for that. So a lot of people made a lot of money. So something like this that you can almost like predict, like, would that be, but you don't know these things. You're just testing, right?
Yeah.
You know, that movie like made people a lot of money that were selling these like super cheap chess boards, and also people that had the chess apps, you know, the game, like that also made a lot of money. So if you can see, you know, in the future, what are some events or what are some things that you may be interested in that you think other people will be interested in, and try to source a product that will kind of fit that category in a sense.
Yeah. So one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs in general, and I'm sure Amazon is the same, they get stuck in this kind of catch-22 loop is, you know, so they have an idea, they put a bunch of money into inventory, then they start selling, and now they've got a bunch of money, but if they want to keep the business going, they have to go and take that money and put it back into inventory. And it seems like a lot of people get caught in those loops where they can never get out of it. You know, it's really popular in the Amazon e-com space. So do you have any ideas on like how people are able to finally escape that loop?
Absolutely. 100%. So okay. What do you want to do if when you start selling a product, you want to think, is this something that I just want to make like a few $100 a month extra and just keep it and keep it going? Or it's a brand that I am building. Like we both know Josh Snow, incredible genius human. Yeah. Like he took the Snow brand to unbelievable heights, right? So what he probably thought was like, okay, this is not just Snow Teeth Whining. I want to create a brand. So when you do that, you make different decisions. And you know, for something like this to become so big, you do have to keep putting money into it. So I tell people usually when they start Amazon that they should not expect any type of profits, at least for a year, if possible, even two. So what happens is now you are building this brand. One, you can always raise money if you're in those kind of circles where you can raise money for your brand and give some equity if it's something that obviously the investors believe in. But if not, there are ways that people can take like personal loans or any kind of loans to keep feeding the business. And why do you want to feed the business? You don't want to just do one product. If you do a product and it's really good, what are some other products that can fit that brand? You know, like Josh was doing the teeth whining, then he did toothpaste, and there's all these things that he's adding to the brand. This is what happens. Yes, he's having profit every month, but the evaluation of the company itself goes all the way up. And we know, and I'm sure you know too, there are a lot of aggregators right now in the Amazon space. Like you may be familiar with Thrasio. So Thrasio, it's one of the biggest aggregators companies out there right now. And they're valued at, I want to say about $4 billion right now. So that's incredible. What they do, they look around for brands like like Snow and other maybe up and coming brands, and they'll come to you and they'll offer you a very good multiple for your brand. So again, what is your end goal? Do you just want to do this like on the side, or you want to create a brand that even though you're not making that much money right now in your hand, because it all goes back into your business, but I'm going to sell it in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years when it builds all this equity. And this is where you make the big money, when you sell it.
Okay, got it. Now, what about, you know, like people get the, they get their customer, but, you know, so they make the sale on Amazon, but it's not like, you know, making a sale on my website, which I was so familiar with, because now I get the customer name, the customer email, and, you know, I can build a relationship with them and I can offer them more value. But you don't get that when you do Amazon. So what are the techniques that people are using? And I know that inserts is a common thing, but what else are people using so that when they sell their wine glasses, it's not just, okay, see you, never see you again, even though you probably want to buy more wine glasses. How do I get that relationship building? So that, I guess that would be another way to grow the profit in business.
The best recommendation that I have is definitely start creating your own list. You want to be on every social platform. You want to be on Instagram. You want to be on Facebook. You want your brand to be on everything. So what happens is, yes, on Amazon, you don't have access to these buyers. Yeah. Amazon owns them. But what they do have is a lot more eyes than you would have on your Shopify store. So it's like you're trading one thing for another. Yeah, of course, is essentially you want people to come to your website and to start creating that brand off of Amazon. But in the meantime, there's hundreds and of thousands of people that are looking for this specific product. Why not have them buy yours? So one, it's good marketing. And then what happens if your wine glasses are that fantastic? They know your brand. They can look for it. And where do people look these days? On social media. They want to see if your wine glass brand is on Instagram. They want to see if other people have bought it. They want to see how many followers your brand has. It's all about perception these days. Yeah, your product is good, but does it also have social proof? So it's not only our personal brands that are important, but also these products, this own brands. Like you look at Snow. I don't know exactly how many followers the brand has, but I'm assuming it's at least in the hundreds of thousands. Because, and now what happens is when somebody goes to Amazon to type in teeth whitening, they see Snow. They're like, oh, I've never heard of this. Let me type it on Instagram. And there he sees all these people posting stuff about their teeth whitening. And they're like, wow, this is a good brand. So it like solidifies their idea that this is what they should buy. Now, Amazon, it's an amazing platform, even though they keep the customer base, but you can do, like you said, little inserts. I mean, Amazon is like reducing that all the way down. Like they don't want you to capture their buyers. So even with inserts in the past, there have been issues with inserts. You know, a lot of people have been asking for reviews in their inserts. Yeah. Amazon doesn't like that. So it's like slowly they're taking away all these rights that the sellers have. Huh. Amazon is very mean to the sellers, but extremely amazing to the consumers. When me and you buy on Amazon, Amazon would do anything for you. You tell them you bought a camera for $500, but it never showed up, or somebody stole it from your door. Within seconds, you get the money back. They will love you forever. However, if a seller has a problem with their account, they wouldn't have that easy access to somebody to help them. And which is what makes Amazon the best company out there right now, because they're very much consumer focused and not seller focused, even though the sellers are the ones that makes them the most money, because not only the product selling, but they spend money on sponsored ads, which cost a lot of money. So there's different avenues. But yet, even with that in mind, Amazon will always choose the consumer over you.
That's amazing. That's fascinating. I knew that they wanted, you know, that was kind of like Bezos's, one of his themes, but I didn't realize that it went that deep for it. That's absolutely very amazing.
Very deep.
So for the seller, what are like some of the top two or three things that can really get you into trouble?
To get you where?
Into trouble. Like with Amazon.
Oh, into trouble. Everything can get you into trouble. Even things that you don't do get you in trouble. Like somebody can... There are ways that people can access your own listing and they will change your listing. or they will add things to it that, you know, maybe they'll add the word flammable or something. Like they can change your listing.
How is that? Like they get into your, just into your account, they hack your account?
No, they don't even hack your account. It's just, it's if you don't have what it's called brand registry. So brand registry, it's like a process. You go, you have to go through some lawyers to get you that specific place on Amazon, meaning and nobody else can sell your product. But other than that, Amazon is kind of open. Like you right now, if you see a seller with wine glasses, you can go under his listing and list your product. So you know how you see sometimes, let's say the wine glass is called Winey, right? You go to Winey and it's wine glasses and it says sold by this brand called Winey. But under it says also sold from all these sellers. Have you ever seen that?
Maybe.
Yeah. So it's like you, it's like wine glasses. It's right here. This is the brand Winey. Mm-hmm. And right below, it says also can be purchased from this other sellers for like lower amounts or whatever. So those sellers have listed the product under your own listing. So they can go, whoever searches for that product, if yours is 20, maybe the other product is like 1908, but then you have to pay shipping or they're not, because your product is the only one that's FBA. Amazon has approved yours, but yet you can have all these sellers under you. So these sellers have access in a sense. I mean, it's much deeper than this. I'm kind of giving you the overview, but there are ways that they can go in and do these things that can harm your listing. Let's put it this way. Amazon automatically will take you down. So here you are on vacation in Cuba somewhere, chilling, making $100,000 a day, and something happens to your listing. Amazon takes you down for like, it can be for a day, for two, for a week. What happens is like you're losing all these sales now to somebody else. So there's so many things that can go wrong with Amazon that I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, this is just an example. Somebody may return the product to Amazon and say your product is the worst product in the world. It's broken, is this, or it looks fake, or all these things. And then if enough people keep doing that over and over again, Amazon will take your listing down and ask you questions later. You have to be the one trying to reach Seller Central. Seller Central is like their like service place where you call and you tell them all these things. But what happens is these places are usually in like Pakistan or all these places that cannot really help you. They'll say, oh, we've escalated this there and there. So you have to keep on it. And doesn't matter how big of a seller you are. It doesn't matter if you're selling $100 million a month, you're nothing to Amazon. You're nothing. Like, and this is a mistake a lot of sellers do. They think, oh, I've made it. I'm good. I'm making Amazon all this money. They're never going to touch me. And then next thing you know, you're off of Amazon and you are suffering because it doesn't matter how big you are.
Wow, like, that's ruthless.
Oh, it's beyond ruthless. It's beyond.
So how does someone protect themselves? Do they have like second backup accounts or something like that?
You can't really, there's not much you can do. You know, one thing to do to protect yourself is definitely get brand registry. And obviously when you get to these limits where you make all these hundreds of millions, you get a, like a representative from Amazon that's like on your account that watches these things. But and if there's a problem that occurs, they would escalate the problem sooner, but there's still not really many ways to protect yourself. You just, you're in their home. You're in their home. And which is why, what you mentioned, I think it's so great and so crucial is make sure that you build your own list and make sure that you build your own brand off of Amazon. Still use Amazon for the sales, for the profit, take that money, put it back, but start creating a brand outside of Amazon. Like I'm sure with Snow, if, you know, if he was off of Amazon right now, I mean, it would completely suck, but he has built such a brand that, you know, everyone on Instagram knows about him. Everybody knows how to find his website. He's going to be fine. Let's put it this way, if that happens, but he's enjoying the sales from Amazon. I'm sure, guaranteed.
So people are just like every single day, they're just waking up and the first terrifying thing that they do is check Amazon to see if their listing is still up.
Absolutely. If if they wake up at 3 a.m., they'll look at Seller Central. I know people who do that. I know them. Yeah, absolutely. It's a nightmare. However, it's a game and you just got to play it. And, you know, it pays big. And I don't want to scare people off because you know, it's,
it, it is happens irregularly.
It, yeah.
Like it, it's just, it, those are nightmares.
Right. But it can happen at any time. And if it does, you just don't give up, you know, you just become relentless and you keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And, you know, instead of blaming Amazon for all these things, you know, try to be better. What else can you do next time that this doesn't happen? Yeah. There are a lot of communities on Facebook of Amazon sellers. There are conferences. I go to almost all of them as time allows me. But like Prosper is a really good conference that's held in March in Vegas, where you just meet thousands and thousands of sellers that are, you know, you may talk to somebody that they'll give you an advice on maybe a problem that you had. So you want to be surrounded by people that have done it before. And there's a lot that have, you know, there's YouTube videos that are free. But mainly what I love about this is that the Amazon community is pretty tight. And, you know, if you have any questions, people are very, very happy to help, but also you have to be aware that everything you hear, you would take it with a grain of salt. Like, would this work in my case? Don't just take everything to heart. Do a little bit of research, find some people that you trust that are influential. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I see you on podcasts. I see you speak at conferences. I see you there. Like they're almost intimidated to walk to people. But what happens is, we are the ones that know, and we actually don't mind telling people. Like we love it. It's like we are a community, and we know if I didn't go to that problem specifically, I definitely know somebody that has that can help them. So it's all about creating, being part of the community, and being open to other ideas that you may not have been aware of before. Because a lot of people also tend to stick in their old ways. I know how to do it this way, and that's the only way to do it. Whereas with Amazon, everything is changing. Every day, something is new. Something is changing. Something, you know, they're trying. They're always trying to be better. Sellers are trying to be better. So there's always new things to learn. So you have to pretty much be in the community and know when these things arise.
Amazing. Okay, so we kind of scared some people. Now, what I'd love to know is, like, you know, to get people pumped up and optimistic to either join Amazon or to you know, take their stuff to the next level, is what are the like trends that you're seeing that aren't like, you know, a 3-month trend, or they're not even like just for Christmas, but like the rising tide on Amazon, you know, health and fitness supplements, like what else, what are there on Amazon where it's like, man, you know, if you're serious about Amazon and you're looking for a niche market, this one's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, I love this question. And, you know, we're on social media. Most people are on social media. Very rarely do I meet somebody that's like, oh, I'm not on Instagram. Most people are on TikTok. So if you are thinking about becoming a seller and you're already spending all this, you're wasting all this time on social media, check and see what the trends are. What are people talking about all the time? You know, for a while it was keto. I mean, keto is still pretty strong, but it's something that, you know, one, I could afford to get into. And if not, what are some things that I could derive from that keto that allows me to create a unique product? Or, you know, maybe a lot of people are doing some new dance, but that dance has to have like maybe this specific like leggings, or, you know, what are some things that people are doing? And you can get ideas just literally by watching what these people do. So don't, you know, look at TikTok and say, oh, that's only for kids, or Facebook is only for this. Start being aware of what you are actually seeing, instead of just like numbing your mind looking at all these like fun dances on TikTok. What are some similar things that these people all do? You know, maybe it's a word that they're saying, you know, like your shirt, live free. Maybe live free, it's like a thing right now. Can I create some shirts? Can I do something that may be really good for a gift for the next season, for the holidays? So you can literally get inspiration from anything. And now you have to think, is this a product that can be sold all year round? Those are the ones that I recommend. You know, like wine glasses, even though it may be competitive, you know, a lot of people drink wine, a lot. I mean, I'm sure there's statistics there that probably can tell you exactly how many. So can this be sold year round? Yes. Would I buy a ski jacket or a ski cap all year round? No. I mean, is it, would it really bring me really good sales for, you know, for holiday season? Absolutely. But then you have to come with that mindset. I'm only selling this for this specific period, maybe from like September, October to like you know, January, February? Is this something I want to do? Or I want to create a product that's good all year round. So you, that's really what you want to look at. And does it interest me? Like, don't sell, I'm just saying, like tennis bracelets that like hold like your elbow or something. Like, one, the tennis niche is, even if it's big, it's not that big that everybody in America uses, right? So that reduces the population. Out of that population, how many actually use these specific things when they play tennis? Maybe only those who have like a tennis elbow or whatever it's called that mm-hmm. actually use this product. So what's the amount of people that are looking for that? So it keeps narrowing down like a funnel. Like, you want to make sure that there's actually enough people searching for this product before going ahead and spending all this money. I would rather find a product that's, you know, maybe like in the fitness niche or something that's around the house that you use all the time and you know your family uses all the time and your friends and friends' friends. What are some things? I mean, you know, knives were very popular for a while, but knives even now are popular. Everybody needs knives all the time. You know, like you can also gift them. So what are some things that you may want to use yourself and start from there? And then again, there are tools that tell you exactly how much money these people are making. So you have all the tools, all the knowledge in front of you. So there's definitely room for you on Amazon. There's definitely room.
That's amazing. Now, last question that I have for you on this is, what are the common attributes of people who are successful on Amazon? Because I imagine like you've seen people from all walks of life and ages and everything, but you know, do they have some common characteristics?
Absolutely. I think the main one is not to be personally offended.
Yeah.
Because things happen all the time, and to not give up, because it's so easy to throw in the towel. You know, people do it all the time, and had they only held on a little longer, they would have seen some sunlight. But most people that are already fearful to begin with, they already go in with that mindset. Oh my God, there's so many people already selling wine glasses. Like, who am I? I'm such a small person, like I don't really have that much money to invest. So they're telling themselves they're not going to be successful. So what happens is the first time they encounter a problem, and there's going to be thousands of them, they give up. They give up at such a small one that could have been resolved maybe by a phone call, but they get fearful. It's like they tell themselves they're not going to be successful. Then this happens, which only confirms their doubts. And they're like, oh, you see, I knew I wasn't going to be successful. So the ones that actually make it is like, doesn't matter how many issues and problems they have, they always find a way and there's always a solution. Doesn't matter how big the problem is or how small, there's always somebody or something out there that can revive it and bring it back. So those who are relentless and never give up are the ones that are on top.
Amazing. Amazing. So the funny thing is, I thought we were going to have this conversation about mindset and everything, but we got so deep into Amazon. This was really, really awesome. And the talking about the relentless persistence, you know, makes me want to leave this with a cliffhanger for, you know, we'll do the mindset one next time, because this has been so good and just such a masterclass in Amazon that I didn't want to get, you know, go from one focus to another. So Isabella, can I count on you to come back onto the show?
Always, anytime you want. You're always a pleasure to talk to. And, you know, we have similar energies. And I liked you for the first time I met you. You were just like, oh, you do Amazon. And oh, here's like three people that I want you to meet. I'm like, oh my God, what an amazing human. So of course, anytime you need me for anything. And mindset is my favorite. Again, mindset is everything. It's the beginning and the end. And everything else that you do in between is, think of it as your playground. You get to play, you get to create, you get to build, but it all starts from how well your mindset is and how you take care of not only your body, but like your mind and everything that comes with it that makes you successful.
Absolutely amazing. Now, how can people find out more about you and your company? What's your Instagram and what's your company's website for Amazon ranking?
So my website is rankbell.com. R-A-N-K-B-E-L-L, rankbell.com. And you can find me on Instagram, Bella, B-E-L-A dot I-Z-A dot B-E-L-A. I know it's kind of long. I apologize.
No, but no, it's all right. Very, very helpful.
You can definitely find me. And, you know, feel free to like send me messages for those that are listening. Like if you just have a question about anything, I will, you know, obviously be there to help you and at least guide you in the right direction. I'm not a coach. I'm not a mentor in that sense. I only offer a service, but I've been around long enough to have some type of answer for you or can direct you to somebody that knows better than me.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I take it as a huge compliment when you say we have similar energies because your energy is through the roof all the time, trillionaire energy. So we're going to bring you back very, very soon. We'll get that book because we got to get the mindset in there for the entrepreneurs and also hear more about your story. But this has been such a masterclass. I really, really appreciate it. So everybody go and follow her, get connected with her and make sure that you connect with her so that you can be the next Amazon superstar. So thanks for listening to the Early Rise Radio Show, everyone. We'll be back next time with another amazing episode and mindset with Isabella.